I want to welcome everybody this evening that's joined with us online tonight. We meet here in the sanctuary to pray in New York City about an hour and a half or so before the prayer meeting begins. And during this time, the Lord has just visited us in a very, very special way. And the Lord has burdened us to pray, and specifically to pray that there would be forgiveness in this nation. That we would have the courage to admit the wrong things that we have done, all of us. That we would not be so proud that we can't admit that wrong's been done, not necessarily by each of us individually, for Daniel was captive in Babylon, and he hadn't been part of what caused that captivity, but yet he himself, even as an older man, Scripture says he opened the windows of his prayer room towards Jerusalem and said, "Lord, we've sinned against you. We have sinned." And he included himself in that struggle. And some grave, grave injustices have been done in America. We know that. And many of them started right here in Manhattan. And there's been a spirit over this city because of it, especially Manhattan. People run here and they don't even know why. They can't sleep and they don't know why. And there has been a lust for personal advancement that got a hold of a nation. It got a hold of a nation, I believe, here in Manhattan, right down in Wall Street. And it causes people to be indifferent to the struggle of others. It causes people to point their fingers and blame. The Bible says that when brethren dwell together in unity, there's an anointing that comes with it. And it's like the anointing that touched that first called priesthood of Aaron in the days of Moses. And it's an anointing, if you understand the life of Aaron, that can bring millions into freedom. Millions who are captivated, millions who are in a place that they're in, not necessarily because they were the ones who committed the wrong, but they're the victims of that which was done. But there's an anointing on this priesthood. And of course, if you and I are believers in Christ, the Bible declares us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a holy generation. And we're called to bring people out of darkness and into the light of Christ. But we can't bring them out if we ourselves are not willing to walk in unity. We can't bring them out if we're grievance-based in our heart. Or, as bad as being grievance-based, we're indifferent to those who have a legitimate grievance of what has been done. And I think in America, we're realizing today that a healing has to come deeper than anything that any human can produce. It's impossible to look for leadership, a secular leadership, to do this. It can't be done because it's a spiritual issue now. It's an issue of the heart. And the only way that the healing can come is if we are willing to get back to God, all of us. We're willing to pray. We're willing to humble ourselves before we pray. And say, "God, we've done wrong. We've all done wrong." Is anybody here tonight who says, "I've never done any wrong"? You really need prayer if that's the cry of your heart tonight. We've all done wrong, and we've done wrong to others. That's the essential element of sin. It's not so much that we sin against God alone, we do, but we sin against those created in the image of God. You look at the Ten Commandments, and how many of those commandments are based on sins committed against God, but towards other people created in the image of God. And if we're willing to humble ourselves before God, if we're willing to come together again as the body of Christ, if we're willing to be that priesthood that can make a difference, the Bible says it's like that oil that was poured on the head of Aaron. Now, you and I know Aaron was not an imperfect man. I mean, if you study the Bible, you know that. But God likens the anointing that came on his life to something that can bring freedom. As far as we travel, it says It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. It was there that the Lord commanded a blessing of life. We need a deep healing. I mean, the recent events in Baltimore, Ferguson, I could go on and on. And yet to come, cities, communities, society, shows us that we need a deep healing. Deeper than human effort can produce. It has to come from God. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Humility says, I'm not going to blame you and you're not going to blame me. What is, is. We can't go back and make the past right. Only God can make the present whole. If we are willing to humble ourselves. God will command a blessing. And our prayer tonight before we came online with you this evening has been that, Lord, where all of this curse of human indifference in America began, which we believe is in Wall Street historically, I don't have time to explain all the reasons tonight, but we talked about it earlier this evening. If we can humble ourselves and say, Lord, we had a bad start. We had a bad start. But you are the God of new beginnings. You're the God who can bring healing where the disease began, where the indifference to human suffering started, where greed overrode our common sense, even in the name of God. Where spirit got a hold of this society that says, I will achieve, but it will be on somebody else's back. And when you know the history of Manhattan, you'll see the sweatshops. And everybody got their turn. The Irish got their turn. The Africans got their turn. The Irish got their turn. And that you can just point from society to society to culture to culture. America, let me just say it this as straight as I can. America has always had its new slaves. And then in the last generation or so, we winked at all the people coming across our borders, and because they worked for cheap. $2-3 an hour, if they got that. And we let them again plow our fields, pick our crops, and everything else, wash our dishes. And we only got alarmed when there just were too many. Because the basis of this society has always been greed. We need to humble ourselves before God. And I'm not indicting this country. I'm not looking to do that. I'm looking to say, here's where the healing has to happen. It's as plain as the scar on the side of Jesus. We have a scar on the side of this society, and only God can heal it. And I'm asking the Lord to make Manhattan, the place where this all began, to make it ground zero for the healing of thousands, countless hundreds of thousands of people coming to Christ. I'm asking God to make Manhattan the ground zero of the churches coming back together again, maybe for the first time, of men and women of all races forgiving each other. You know, when the Holy Spirit came, the first thing you'll see in the beginning of the book of Acts is there was this immediate benevolence, this is immediate caring one for another. Nobody had to have a program. They didn't turn to the government. People just started lifting up their brothers and sisters. They started caring. They started giving. And it wasn't a program, and there were no tax receipts. And there wasn't even we don't have a name. There was no wall of remembrance for those that had been the most generous. We don't know, only heaven had recorded it. We just know that people realize that we're called to something higher than just living for ourselves. Father, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus Christ, help us. And God, we ask you tonight in Jesus' name, that you would send an awakening to New York City. There's really nothing else we can do but just come before your throne and say, God, forgive us. We pray like Daniel did. Daniel knew he was in captivity, and we know we're in captivity as a nation. We're captive to our own sin. We're captive to our own greed. We're captive to our own indifference, our own anger. We're captivated. We can't escape it now. And like a poison, it wants to just seep through the whole of this society and fragment and divide and destroy us. But Lord God, you said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard. I don't know what else to pray or what else to do, but to say, Lord, forgive us and empower us to change, because we can't change on our own. We're all inherently greedy or angry or unforgiving. We're all these things and then more than we can see. So we can't change it. Only you can change it, Lord. You're the only one that can take us out of our prisons and make us free men, free women. You're the only one that can take these grievous wounds and heal them. That's why the cross. That's why you were beaten beyond human recognition. That's why you had a spear thrust into your side, thorns in your brow, nails in your feet and in your hands, because we can't get out on our own. We can't change on our own. We can't care on our own. We can't give on our own. We are powerless. And so, Lord, just as you commanded Cyrus to write a decree to let your people go home, Lord God, we ask you to move your hand and write a decree and let us go free from ourselves. Free from our past. Free, God, from our indifference. Free from our greed. Free from our anger. Free, Lord Jesus Christ, from all that has captivated us as a people. Set us free. You have the keys to our prisons. You have the oil that would free our minds. You, God, are the only one that can set us free. And so, Lord, we choose tonight not to blame. We choose to say, Lord, we all deserve to be judged. We all deserve to be cast aside. We've all gone astray and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one righteous among us, not even one. But we make the choice to humble ourselves before you. You say, Lord, forgive us and heal our land. Isn't that what you said? The promise you made to Israel, if my people are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And so, God, we ask you for healing. We don't ask you to save the American way of life. We ask you to save the American people. We ask you to save, God, every person who's here legally and illegally. We ask you, God, for a sweep of grace and glory, God Almighty, from coast to coast in this nation. We ask you to deliver us, God, from blaming our leaders. We ask for mercy, Lord, for our president, mercy for our Senate, mercy for the Congress, mercy for the Supreme Court, mercy for this nation, mercy for our pastors, mercy, God, for your house, mercy, Lord, for those who have misrepresented you and those who have represented you. We ask for mercy. Mercy, Lord Jesus. I don't know what else to pray. I don't know what else to say. We've come to this point in history where we just stand at your throne tonight and just cry, mercy, oh God. Mercy, Lord, mercy. When you commissioned the temple through Solomon, you gave them a song to sing, and that song was, God is good and his mercy endures forever. And so, Lord, we call out to you knowing who you are, and we ask you for mercy upon Manhattan, mercy on Wall Street, mercy, God, on all the boroughs of New York City, mercy, God, on this city that in the natural we simply deserve and long overdue for your judgment. But we have to believe that you have spared us, that your mercy might be made known among the nations one last time. And so we call out for mercy. And give us the grace to forgive. Give us the grace to walk away from old ways of thinking and old ways of living. Give us all the grace, Lord, and sweep this nation with mercy. Sweep it, God, as you say in the scriptures, light a candle and sweep under every bed till every lost coin is found. Give us the grace to care. Break the bonds of indifference. Break the arrogance of finger pointing. Don't let our children die in our streets, Lord. Forgive us for murdering our children in our wombs for convenience sake. Forgive us for calling a choice. Forgive us, Lord Jesus Christ, for the confusion that's on every part of our society, which is the well-deserved fruit of what we have become as a people. But there's mercy with you. The scripture says that you may be feared. There's mercy with you. And so we come to the place tonight where there's nothing else to pray. There's no other attribute of your heart to turn to but your mercy. Your mercy, God. Your mercy. We ask you to do what we could never do and ask you to do what we've not done and ask you to make us into what we could never be. We ask you to give us what we could never hope to possess. And as a nation, take us where we could never go. We ask you for an awakening. Oh, God Almighty. Whatever we choose to call it, an absolute sweep of mercy from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. God Almighty. For your holy name's sake, not for our sake, Lord, but for your holy name's sake, which we indeed have blasphemed among the nations, whether we traveled. But for your holy name's sake, O Jesus, Son of God. O Jesus, Son of God, awaken us. Awaken us, Almighty God. In the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
I don't honestly think there can ever be a spiritual awakening without forgiveness and without compassion one for another. And here at Times Square Church, we have had the privilege of fellowshipping together for years now with people from over 100 nations. And it has truly been a blessing, has it not, to dwell together in unity? It's been an incredible blessing. And I believe that one of the reasons why we know such a powerful presence of God, and there's even an abiding presence, people testify they feel an abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in this sanctuary, even when there's nobody here. And I believe the reason for that is because we've chosen to walk together in unity, and having made that choice, God has commanded the blessing of life. And so I want to pray tonight, and I'd like us to pray. We'll form in a moment in groups of 5-6 people and pray with your brothers and sisters here tonight that what we have come to know in this house will become something that will just literally invade our society, that there will be forgiveness, there will be a coming together, there will be a reconciliation that can only be produced by the Spirit of Almighty God, that which has turned this society into something that it was never intended by God to be. And that may be the case for your community. There's people with us tonight online that you are in communities that are at war with one another. And if there's going to be reconciliation, if there's going to be a gathering together and a full understanding of the blessing of God, it will have to come through you and your neighbor making the choice to come together. Even if in the context of your culture, there's division, you'll have to make the choice to come together as believers in Christ. And in some cases, it's going to be your hand that's going to reach out first. And whether or not it's reciprocated, you have to make that determination that I'm going to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. God stretched his hand out from heaven and into this sinful earth for me. And if God can do that for me, I can do that for my neighbor. I can do that with the power of God within me. And we're praying tonight with all of our heart that there be reconciliation that God alone can produce. We need a miracle in America. We need a miracle in New York City. We need a miracle on Wall Street, where a lot of this present turmoil even had its beginnings if people knew their history. So I want to pray with all my heart tonight, and I'm going to ask you to pray that we be reconciled. Be reconciled. And be ambassadors of the one who stretched his hand out from the throne of heaven for us and called us friends, called us brothers and sisters when we didn't deserve it. All we had ever done is curse his name and spit in his face, and yet he reached down to us. And we are ambassadors for one another, to one another, of that kind of love. And so I want to encourage you with all my heart tonight. If you'll take a moment now just to form into groups of four and five together, and we're going to take a moment to pray. I'm going to ask Patrick, Andy, if he'd come and lead us in this prayer tonight. Just lift up your voice and begin to pray. You already know what to pray for. Do the same thing at home, those that are gathered with us.
Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to pray in your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that that we here in New York at Times Square Church tonight, Lord, with more than 100 nations, Jesus, and you send your love in here, Lord. And it's only by you, Lord, that we can love one another, Jesus. It's only by you that we can call our brothers and our sisters, like, you know, real brothers, real sisters, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you're going to use us, Lord, use us, Lord, to be your testimony, Jesus, that there's going to be a real love, Jesus, between Christian lords. I know there's going to be, like, you know, little division, but as far as theology and everything, but I pray, Lord, that that we're going to be, like, the first Christian, we're going to be in one accord, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is going to touch each and every one in New York, Jesus, no matter what the denomination, Lord, no matter what the background, Jesus, that there's going to be so much love, Lord, that even the media is going to notice, Lord, that only you did it, Jesus. Only there is no way, Lord, that that so many division, Lord, that we're going to honestly love each other. But I pray, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit is going to touch Times Square, is going to touch Catholics, is going to touch Presbyterian, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is going to wake up everyone, Jesus. Lord, I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, God. We glorify you. We cry out to you, Lord Jesus, in this hour. Oh, God, you are our Redeemer. Oh, Lord God, you're our Restorer. Lord, it can only happen through you. All that we are up against, all that we see that is going on in our city, in our country, and overseas. God, only peace can come from you. We ask for supernatural peace. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would speak and that we would respond in obedience to you, oh God. You have all power and authority. You are God. There is none higher than you. God, we ask right now that you would humble men and women, that you would bring your people to their knees, oh God, that we would cry out a cry of repentance, that we would cry out as a country asking for your forgiveness, and that only then, Lord God, we would see unity. That only then, Lord God, would men join hand in hand as brothers. That only then we would see supernatural peace. But you must be glorified, God. Your name must be lifted up. Oh, Jesus, forgive us, Lord God, for our selfishness. Forgive us, Lord God, of our pride. Lord God, we ask right now. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you and your power and your authority would tear up every bitter root, every area of anger and selfishness. Tear it up, oh God. That men and women would come before one another with a broken heart and a heart of forgiveness. Lord, only you can stir the hearts of men and women to cry out, to ask for your forgiveness, to turn to their brothers and sisters and ask for forgiveness. Only in you, Christ Jesus, can we once again see reconciliation, Lord God, here in our city, here, Lord God, in our country. Lord God, we ask you now, do a miracle, Lord God, in our city. Do a miracle, Lord God, in our government. Do a miracle, Lord God, in this country. Lord God, only you can do the miracle, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we need you, Lord God, now. That there would be an awakening in the church, Lord Jesus. That there would be a clear gospel presented, Lord God, on the pulpit. That there would be a clear gospel presented in the streets. That the lost would know that Jesus reigns. That the lost would know that Jesus, you are Savior. That the lost would know that Jesus, you are our Redeemer. That the lost would know that you, oh Lord God, are our Restorer. That the lost would know that there's only hope in you, oh God. That the lost would know that there's salvation in the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, we ask that this awakening would come because your people would cry out in your name and in your name alone. Stir our hearts to speak boldly your name, Jesus. That the name of Jesus would be spoken in the house of the Lord. No other name but the name of Jesus. Lord, that even in our city government, amongst government officials, politicians, let the name of Jesus be lifted up. Lord, even in the White House, even in Washington, D.C., let the name of Jesus be lifted up. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask even in our military, in every military base, in every Air Force base, let the name of Jesus be lifted up. Lord, we know that first we must be reconciled unto you, if ever there will be reconciliation amongst men. Forgive us, Lord God, for trying to figure out how to heal our land outside of you. Only you can heal the land, oh God. So we humble ourselves. We humble ourselves this evening. And we believe tonight, oh God. We believe in your great name. We believe that you're able to heal the land. We believe that your name is going to be glorified in our city. We believe that you're going to bring reconciliation, Lord God. We believe that, oh God, there's going to bring supernatural unity that's going to come forth in the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you in advance, oh God, for this awakening that's going to happen. Oh Lord God, even as Pastor Carter has prayed, we echo that prayer one more time. God, show up one more time. God, bring a healing one more time. God, bring unity one more time. Bring reconciliation one more time, oh God. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, you reign. No matter how dark it looks, you reign, God. You're on the throne. And so we worship you tonight. We give you glory. Darkness cannot withstand your light. Oh, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for your light. And we will let our light shine in this hour. We will not hide it. We'll let our light shine. Glory to your name. Hallelujah.
What a special, wonderful presence of the Lord here tonight. As we are praying for a spiritual awakening in a very, very dark time. Not only here in America, but all throughout the world. And I think any intelligent person knows that this world is spinning into a place where only God now can make a difference. And here's what I want to share with you this evening. It's just a little bit of a story from the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 before we go into a specific time of prayer. It says, "Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her." So here is Jesus. He's approaching a city, and as he gets close to its borders, there's a certain hopelessness in that city. Not only this woman is carrying out her hope, she's carrying out her future, and a son, and of course she was a widow, so her son would be her, basically her retirement, would be her security, it would be her sense of identity, it would be her accomplishment, it would be almost, it's a type of somebody carrying out of the city everything they'd ever hoped for, and it seems to have just fallen through their fingers, it's gone. And she wasn't alone in this sorrow, it says a huge crowd from the city was with her. And I can't help but think as I read this, that the numbers of people now who just feel that it's hopeless for the future. The numbers of young people who feel like everything is gone. God was taken away from them in their schools. Their fathers, in many cases, their families are broken apart. Now the future seems to be gone. There's no jobs, and unemployment is high, and difficulty is running. And so there's a large crowd feeling this hopelessness. And it's even something that's tugging at the hearts of people who know God through Jesus Christ, this sense of hopelessness. I know people here tonight have felt that, this foreboding sense that there is no real tangible future that you can lay hold of that's going to bring joy to the heart, that's going to give a sense of well-being. Seems like everything around us is spinning out of control. And when the Lord saw her, the scripture says he had compassion on her. And I'm so encouraged that God sees us before we see him. God knows what our needs are before we've even made them known to him. He's not aloof from our struggle and from our suffering and from our trials. He knows, we know a little bit. He knows everything. He hears every groan at night, every sigh, every tear is counted. If Christ himself were to be in this room tonight, he could tell you exactly how many tears were shed in New York City last night. He knows, and the scripture says he had compassion on her. You'd think with the knowledge that God has, he'd be angry, but that's not who God is. If he was an angry God, we'd all be in oblivion now. This world would have been folded up long ago and a new heavens and a new earth would have been created. No, he's a God of compassion. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God did not come into the Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. And he said to her, don't weep. Now, everything around her would have been reason to weep. The crowd of witnesses she had around her would be sufficient to tell her, don't listen to him. Keep on weeping. It's hopeless. Your future's gone. Your life is over. It's too dark. There's never going to be light in your heart again. It says, then he came and touched the open coffin. In other words, the death was on display. It wasn't hidden. People all knew about it. It was a certain fact. And there are certain facts in our culture, our society, that are inescapable now. The coffin is open, may I call it that. And anybody who wants to can look in and see the depraved minds and the confusion, the hopelessness, the paralysis, the violence, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the greed, the difficulty, the wounds that are just open and gaping and are never going to be healed. Anybody can look in the coffin now and say, don't listen to him. It's over. But he says he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. Oh, God, help us to stop this insane parade. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Comes a point in history when only God's voice can bring life. Only God's voice. Nobody else gave this young man any hope. I assure you of that. There was only one voice left. And from time to time throughout history, we get to this same place over and over again where there is no hope apart from the voice of God. There's no hope apart from the voice of the one who said, it is finished. This reign of death and hell and sin is over. It's broken and death can't reign any longer. And whosoever will may come and receive life. And suddenly in the midst of all this gloom and all this darkness, the voice of the Son of God rises up and he says, I say to you, young man, arise. Get up and live. We need that voice of God again in this generation. A lot of young people have lost their hope. And all we can do is carry them out, in a sense, and just put them away out of sight. But that's not the heart of God. He is the author and giver of life. In him was life, and this life was the light of men. And I love this. It says, he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And when you look that up in the original Greek, the word speak means to speak as God speaks. He got up and he began to speak what God speaks. Now, I don't know if he knew where he'd been. Most likely he did. But I know that when he rose up, he began to speak what only God could have given him to speak. His conversation was changed. You can be sure of that. If you've been dead, you don't get up and just ask for a ham sandwich. I promise you that. Well, of course, he was Jewish. He wouldn't have asked for a ham sandwich anyway. And it says that he presented him to his mother. And so tonight, for those who are hopeless, those that are struggling, those that are burdened down with trials and difficulties, Jesus is willing to give you back your hope. He'll give you your freedom. He'll give you that which your heart has always longed for. If you'll stand still and see the salvation of God. If you'll stop trying to work it all out in your own strength and let God do what only God can do for you. And he presented him to his mother. Sons and daughters coming home. The hearts of fathers being turned back to their children, and the hearts of children being turned back to their fathers. God doing in our society what only God can do or could do. And I thank God with all my heart, we've finally come in our insane parade away from God. We've finally come to the place where only God now can bring a healing into our society. I thank God with all my heart. There is no scheme, there is no plan, there's no amount of money, there is no new program. There's nothing can heal the wound of this nation apart from the voice of God speaking to it one more time. But oh, thank God that we don't have a Savior who's indifferent to our struggle. We don't have a God who draws back in vengeance, folds his arms and says, cry out to me all you will, that I'm not going to answer your prayer. Thank God that's not who he is. Sometimes he waits till we're dead. Matter of fact, more time than one in the history of the scripture, he waited till there was no option. He waited till Jonah was in the belly of the whale. He waited till Lazarus was 4 days in the grave. Could have come to the city of Nain earlier, but he waited until the whole city was coming out, a great crowd lamenting the hopelessness of their present situation, the loss of their next generation. I'll tell you something. While God is alive, the devil better never fold his hands and say, I've got the next generation. Because he doesn't. He doesn't have the next generation. And so the dead man sat up and began to speak. Oh, God, the prayer of my heart. As I looked out on the news the other few days ago and I saw so many young people running through the streets of Baltimore, I said, oh God, let these young people speak for you. Their hope is dead. Their hearts, many are empty. Not all, but many. But oh Jesus, you can speak to them. And you can cause them to rise up and become great evangelists, pastors, teachers, missionaries, statesmen for the kingdom of God. You can, Lord. You can. And if you and I don't believe that, we're to be pitied. He can. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. The scripture says, then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. Oh, yes. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the report of him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. And so we are asking God tonight to do things that only he can do. We're asking God to be who he is. He is the one who created the universe by the word of his mouth. He's the one who created man out of the dust of the earth. He's the one who can walk on the water, calm the seas, raise people from the dead, give sight to the blind, heal those that have been wounded to the point where their wound can't be repaired by human effort. That's who he is. That's who we pray to tonight. That's what we believe for. Something is stirring in my heart deeper than I've ever known before. We're going to pray for people who need miracles tonight. People who are like this lady and her son. New York City. Just pray for me. I just gave up. We're going to pray for you, Walter. Elizabeth from Connecticut. Please, Jesus, deliver me from my hellish existence. Florida, Steve. My son, 26 years old, 3 years of heartache, ended his life yesterday. My wife left 3 years ago. The pain is crushing. We're going to pray for you, Steve. You need a miracle. You're in exactly the same place that this lady was in. Minnesota, I'm bound in sexual lust. My addiction started at a young age. Please pray for me. I have a need for a praying church and a pastor. Antonio, we're going to pray for you and believe God for a miracle. From Kathy in Boston, my husband passed away and I have a large family. I'm overwhelmed. Pray that all my children would be saved and live for Jesus. Kathy, you need a miracle, and we're going to pray that God give you a miracle. New York, please pray that God would take away this deep pain and internal struggle that I have. I feel worthless and suicidal at times over my broken marriage. Dennis in Florida, I'm meth addicted. I'm HIV positive. pray for my salvation, please. Dennis, we're going to pray that God save you. And you have to realize tonight, Dennis, that he loves you with a love so deep your mind can't comprehend it. No matter your situation, he can set you free and give you a healing that's beyond anything you've ever known in your lifetime. From Plymouth, Massachusetts, I'm a single father with no work and no money. I'm crippled by anxiety and depression. My daughter will be homeless in 2 weeks. And he ends by saying, thank you. Stephen, it's a pleasure to pray for you tonight. We're going to believe God for miracle and miracles in your life. So many people are hopeless. So many situations are beyond repair. But the Lord saw her. And he had compassion. And he said to her, don't weep. And then he came and touched the place of death. And death was turned to life. It's his choice as to how he chooses to do that. But he is the giver of life. And he is the author of healing. And he is the one who puts a song of hope where there's only despair. That's who God is. That's what he does. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight, if you will, please. Pastor William, if you come and lead us in this prayer this evening. God has to touch this generation, Pastor William, because there's no hope if he doesn't touch it. God has to touch these situations that are listed because they can't be changed without him. But I believe tonight that with God, all things are possible. Do you believe that? I'm done with death. I believe mountains can be moved. I believe that whatever we ask, believing, we shall receive. I believe that our joy will be filled as we see our children not rioting but dancing in the streets for joy one more time before Christ returns. I believe that with all my heart. I do.
Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you spoke to the prophet Ezekiel and you showed him a valley of dry bones and you asked him a question. Can these dry bones live? Now, all night we've been talking about the fact that we believe. Lord, we believe that if you give us the grace to pray over the dry bones and to speak and to prophesy to the dry bones and to say live, that they will live. Now, we know that you have placed a burden upon our heart. Lord, you have given us a zeal to see a change in this generation. Lord, we speak to death tonight. We speak to the grave tonight. And we say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Lord, we know that you have overcome death. We know that you have taken the power of death. You hold the keys to hell and death. Lord, you have the right and you have the power to speak to death and to say to disease, to say to death, to say to depression, to say to fear, to say to the hearts that have given up that you need not give up anymore. Lord, you speak to death and you say this far and no farther. God, we believe in you tonight to speak to that person who is depressed, to that person who feels like giving up. Lord, you speak to their heart right now and you say to death, you have no power over this life. You have no sting in this life. God, you give us the grace to pray for these men and women and to believe for great signs and wonders. Lord, we're expecting that you will bring light into places of darkness. Lord, where men and women have given up, we are asking for a supernatural courage. Mothers who are weeping over their children, we ask to bring comfort. Empower them with the power to speak to the dry bones that the bones might live. Spirit of Jesus, give us the grace to believe for those things that seem insurmountable, those things that seem impossible. God, we've heard the weeping. We've heard the crying. Lord, we've read the concerns. We've read the prayers. God, give us the power to speak, to prophesy, to the dry bones and to say to lift. To speak to Lazarus and to say, come forth. Lord Jesus, you have oftentimes, as we've heard tonight, waited for the fourth day, waited for the midnight hour, looked upon the barren womb, waited until age and time made the natural impossible. And then, oh God, you came through with might, with power. You came through when nothing seemed to be able to happen. You came through to do what only God could do. You've glorified yourself again and again and again. Spirit of Jesus, we speak against the power of death. We speak against the power of suicide. We speak against despondency and depression. We speak against a lie of the devil that would suggest that men and women ought to give up. We speak to the dry bones and we say to live. We speak to the suicidal and we say, live. We speak to those who have given up, and in the name of Jesus Christ, we say, live. We speak to Lazarus in the tomb and we say, come forth in the name of Jesus. We speak into the open tomb, into the open casket, and in the name of Jesus, we say, rise up and walk. Holy Spirit of Jesus, there are needs and concerns that are far beyond the natural, far beyond anything that the natural mind or the natural heart can do, far beyond anything that human compassion and sympathy can do. God, this is something that only God can do, and you've all called us to cry out tonight. Cause us to believe for great things. Cause us to believe for signs and wonders. Cause us to believe the tombs would open. Lord, when you laid your life down on the cross, the Bible says that the earth shook and the graves opened. We're asking you, oh God, to open tombs tonight. Break the bonds of the devil. Break the back of Satan. Break his teeth, oh Jesus. Hallelujah. Dispel every lie. Cause light and life to shine and cause darkness to flee. Lord, for that person who's sitting in their room tonight, contemplating suicide, contemplating giving up, Lord, we speak life. To that person whose mind is overwhelmed with confusion, overwhelmed with the fight and the strife and the stress, in Jesus' name, we speak peace. We speak a peace that passes understanding. To that person who's lost in their sin and dying under the burden, we speak a word of salvation. Jesus, save their soul tonight. Save them tonight, oh Jesus. Free them from the bonds of the enemy. Free them from the chains of destruction. Bring life and light and hope and peace. To those torn by addictions and various forms of perversion, we speak the cleansing blood of Jesus. We speak the power of God to break the bonds of affliction and to undo the heavy burden and to let the prisoner go free. We speak salvation in the name of Jesus. We speak the cross of Christ. We speak the blood of that great Savior who shed his blood that we might be free. Jesus, we come against death. We say, oh death, where is your victory? Oh grave, where is your sting? God, in Jesus' name, we come against the power of death. We come against the lure of suicide. We come against the spirit of violence and the spirit of murder. We come against the spirit of self-destruction, of addiction, of self-mutilation. We come against the lie of that devil that would try to destroy the image of God. We come against the power of death tonight. Hallelujah. And we say, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth, come forth, come forth, come forth, come forth. We're expecting tonight, oh Jesus, that those who considered suicide tonight will say along with the psalmist, I will not die, but I will live. I will give glory to God. I will bless his name. I will cause his name to be known in the earth. My life has a reason. My life has a function. My life has a purpose. My life belongs to God. And we will thank you for this, oh Jesus. And we will bless you for it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Praise God. Well, we're going to do something a little different tonight. I feel to encourage those that are listening online tonight to keep on praying after we go off the air. Just keep on praying. And you take the authority over that mountain in your life. You take the authority over that situation, because there's so many that are emailing and texting in that have just literally impossible situations apart from the mercy and the power of God. But you've got to start believing that God will answer your prayer. And I want to encourage you tonight, specifically those online, to take the next 15 to 20 minutes after we go off the air, when we wave goodbye to you, and you continue praying. And ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Ask him. Ask him for his power. And the reason I'm asking you to do this is because it's very important for you personally to know that God answers prayer. He doesn't just answer people in New York City praying for you. He will answer you. If you'll cry out to God tonight, he will answer your prayer. And next week, I expect to see a flood of answered prayers, a literal flood. God give you courage to believe that he will answer, and he will answer with power and with mercy. Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for the time that we've had together. Your presence has been as thick as an oil in this sanctuary all evening. You have led us in a direction we didn't anticipate going. You've spoken to our hearts. We've clapped, we've cried, and we've laughed together. It's been so good to be in your presence, Lord. Now, God, we lift up every impossible situation to you. And we know that you're looking on us with compassion, for your word tells us so. And we ask you now to speak life into death and freedom into captivity and healing into disease and clear thinking into confusion, power into powerlessness. The things, Lord, that can only come from your voice. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. And besides you, there is no God. There's only one name given under heaven whereby men might be saved. And so we're asking you tonight to glorify that name of Jesus. Glorify his name, God Almighty. And bring healing in a way that could only be attributed to you. Father, we thank you for this with all of our heart. And so tonight from New York City, we say to those that are joining with us online, we're going to turn the cameras around right now. We want from New York City, God bless you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Good night and God bless you.